when I was a kid, these were things that you sent to me. When I was a kid, we rode a horse to school. When I was a kid, we picked cotton for fun. I beg to differ. When I was a kid, we mowed the pasture with a horse-drawn, whatever it is, child of privilege, right here. Thank you. When I was a kid, we climbed trees. And when we did so, we were at the top of the world. When I was a kid, our summers were full of unplanned activity. When I was a kid, for me, this is true in Texas and this was true in California. When I was a kid, we rode our bikes everywhere and we were free. And I'm still riding that bike. Because one of the realities of life is that these early formative experiences, these early formative years that we spend in the homes of our parents, we spend the rest of our lives working it out. There may be no topic that Alice and I discuss more than, what was it like for you when you were a kid, and what was it like in your home when... We spend the rest of our lives remembering our youth, making sense of what we experienced when we were kids. I will spend the rest of my life trying to make sense as to what happened to me the last 6 days. For the entire history of our church has gathered with sister churches around Texas, our youth and our children gathering for camp. This week, I had the privilege to gather with Broadway Baptist Church, a church you may know the pastor of, Ryan Price. I'm honored to follow in his footsteps and appreciate his ministry deeply. You know what Ryan and I talked about? We had some time together to talk this week. You know what we talked about? We talked about you, and we talked about you, and we talked about you, and I am in a much better position to be your pastor now. I have spent the last 6 days smelling lots of deodorant, wondering why people are acting like velociraptors, watching young love blossom. Seeing the king of the foosball table think that he's really something at camp. I watched the Thursday night dance. I'll have you know, I danced harder and longer than all of our students. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. And there, never mind. And we'll spend the rest of our lives working out these things that we encounter in this incredible time of life. And so for the last few weeks, I've been thinking of coming of age. Kid was in class, elementary, and a substitute teacher said, what do you class want to be when you grow up? And one kid, you know, raised her hand, I want to be a teacher. Oh, that's wonderful. Another, I want to be a doctor. Oh, that's wonderful. I want to be a lawyer. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I want to be an astronaut. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I want to be a professional soccer player. Bless you, child, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there was one kiddo that was struggling. You know, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And the substitute teacher, you know, thoughtfully said, well, what do your parents do? You know, it's a great thing to do be what your parents are when you grow up. And so the kid said, all right, I'm going to be tired when I grow up. 1984 film, The Breakfast Club. Do you know this film? It's an incredible movie that takes place in the library of a high school, and one Saturday, there are 5 students who are imprisoned in a detention hall. There are these American modern stereotypes as the characters. There is an athlete played by Emilio Estevez. Emilio! There is a young lady who only wears pink. There is a young lady who only wears black. There is a young man who likes calculators and books. And there's a young man who, unfortunately, because of instability in his own home life, had to grow up too soon. Maybe you identify with one of these stereotypes. And there's a moment in this story as they're all sitting around the table talking in which the athlete says, oh no. Oh no, we're going to grow up to be like our parents. And the young lady wearing pink says, oh, certainly that will not be the case for me. And the young lady wearing black says, oh, yes, it will. You see, it's inevitable that we will become our parents when we're older. And when you grow up, she said, when you grow up, your heart dies. Is that what it's like to grow up? To be tired all the time and have your heart die? What is coming of age in the spiritual, biblical, in Christ sense? In the 1990s film about the 1970s, Dazed and Confused, the Shakespeare of Texas, Matthew McConaughey, plays that guy that you all know. Do you know the guy that he plays? You all know this guy. You know, he graduated 10 years ago, but he still hangs out around all the high schoolers. You know that guy. And you may not know that guy literally now, but my suspicion is that everyone in this room knows that adult who still acts like a child. And he pops up in meetings, and he's at the baseball field screaming at umpires. You know, that adult that never came of age. Matthew McConaughey plays this character. And talking to high schoolers, he says, the older I get, they keep putting more rules on me, man. And I just got to keep living, man. Just keep living. And he names this tension. He names this tension of what it's like to grow, to come of age. You know, we're working on rules in our own home right now. We should pray for our families, of our students. I have been to more fast food restaurants in the last 6 days at 10 p.m. We had dinner, but like 3 hours later, they're starving. You see, we're in the phase of life, we can't get our daughter to eat anything except for dog food. So we're trying to teach it. We're trying to work with her. Like, the dog food is off limits. And this is a primary tension in which we encounter as we grow, as we come of age. What are the authority figures in our lives? Are they primarily rule setters? This is the tension Matthew McConaughey faces. This is the tension our daughter faces. And this is the tension that we face with God. It's the exact same question that they're asking in Galatians 3. Is the voice of God the voice primarily of a disciplinarian? Is the law of God a burden? And here, and I think the center of this text is the center really of all the Pauline letters. Throughout the letters in the New Testament, Paul uses this phrase. It's much like the kingdom of God in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It's much like eternal life in the Gospel of John. The phrase that is used here is in Christ. In Christ seems to be this space in which liberation and love, in which forgiveness and faith, in which rest and resurrection and reconciliation all sort of collide. I read this morning in a dictionary that in Christ is the metaphorical expression of the existential locale. Does that make sense? Won't use that book anymore. Verse 25, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Verse 26, so in Christ, you are children of God through faith. It is in Christ, it is as we place our faith in this locale, that the gravitational centers of our lives and the gravitational centers of our world transforms. And the letter continues in that as we begin even to wear this as our reality, there is no other consequence than all the barriers that our world has to offer begin to break down. This is a necessary response of when we are in Christ. For in Christ, there is no longer male nor female. In Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. Now, hang with me. In Christ, there is no longer Wolverine or Raider. In Christ, there is no longer gay or straight. In Christ, there is no longer black or white. In Christ, there is no longer Iranian or America. For in Christ, there is a unity for all people and all things. I think this in Christness is the biblical expression of coming of age. And I'd like to just consider three aspects of what this might look or feel, what this might taste like. The protagonist in these coming of age films often experiences an anti-climax. They finally get to the prom and it's really not that big of a deal. The movies often end and the protagonist is back there at the same exact diner. The protagonist often might be back in that same exact car driving that same exact road. One of the things that I'm convinced of now as much as ever is that the world that we're living in is complex. Not that it was any less complex before, but I do think that the complexity and the nuance and the conflict in our world is increasing. And I was reminded of this as I gave this incredible Bible study this week at camp, and I looked up and all the kids are doing this. This world that we live in, particularly for our young people, is complex. And this is why Fred Rogers, receiving the call to love his neighbor, receiving the call to respond to this complex world, to be the minister to all children, says that I used to think that all my superheroes wore capes. But he says, now I know that superheroes are regular people who love their neighbors. And he says this, Fred Rogers says, love must not be sophisticated. Love must be simple. Oh, so good. Our world increases in complexity, and the gospel says simply love. Simply love. Second, often the protagonist moves from one simple stage of life to another simple stage of life. In these coming of age films, there really isn't much changed by the end. And I'm reminded that in the kingdom of God, if you were to allow me to put words on the lips of Jesus, that in the kingdom of God, there are no experts. Thomas Merton, the monk, said that we will spend our entire lives coming to terms with one reality, that we are beginners. Your pastor is a beginner. Your president is a beginner. Your professor is a beginner. Your banker is a beginner. Your best friend is a beginner. Your parents are beginners. Each new day is a new mercies, and we're invited to simply crawl or walk and begin again at the starting line of each new day. We are all beginners coming of age. And third and finally, And although not necessarily began as a coming-of-age film, in 1970, To Kill a Mockingbird was published by Harper Lee. But in 1972, it was made into a movie, often included among the greatest coming-of-age movies of all time. Atticus Finch, the father, says to his daughter, Scout, he says, "The one thing that cannot abide by majority rule is your conscience." The one thing in all of the world that you can control is you. This is why all the barriers break down. This is why Jesus says, don't worry about the speck of sawdust in your neighbor's eye. Look to yourself. Each day we begin anew as beginners, seeking the formation, seeking the conviction, seeking the growth of the image of Christ in our own lives. We spend our entire lives figuring out what our parents or our grandparents, we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what happened to us in these early years of life. We spend the rest of our lives choosing to be or not to be those early influences, our parents or otherwise, in our lives. And we spend the rest of our lives becoming our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Mother, whose love is without end, whose rule is without blemish. We spend the rest of our lives growing and coming of age, not losing our energy and not losing our hearts. We spend the rest of our lives walking in the newness of resurrection. And to that I say, all right, all right, all right. Let's pray together. We are your children, O God. Our children are your children. We are all beginners. We're mindful of our children who have wandered, and yet know that all things are always in your hands. All things are always within your sight. All things are always within your grace and within your goodness. We cannot wander off beyond your presence. We're mindful that we spend our whole lives becoming like you, O God. And we remember today that you are patient. And as we forget, you forgive. As we retreat, you resurrect us time and time again. May we be in Christ. May our church be in Christ. May this city be held in Christ. May our country be in Christ. May this world be in the only location in which it can be in the universe, which is in Christ. And may this give glory and honor and power to the name that is above and beyond and before and within all names, the name of true love, the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.